The Old Testament reading for today, for this fourth Sunday in Lent, comes from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but he does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. We rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but it's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he's opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin. Why would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The toughest thing about writing sermons is the cultural shorthands that have purchase. You can use ones that are spot on and heroically assume that people know them or will look them up if they care. But with a spread of listeners from 10 years of age to 90 years, you know that isn't true. And you will occasionally hear about it. You could also choose to explain them, but then they aren't shorthand. And is the job of the preacher to explain cultural references. But wherever you fall along the spectrum of blue pill, red pill, or black pill, it's a reference to the 1999 movie The Matrix and the hero Neo's choice between a blue pill, what you see is true, and a red pill, you start to see the Alice in Wonderland existence that the blue pill covers over with a modern edition of a black pill that both blue and red have a genial fiction to sell you. But whether you think that this virus is novel and extremely dangerous reality worth shutting everything down for, this virus is maybe a novel and marginally more dangerous, but it's really just replacing other flu season viruses, and the total envelope of flu season outcomes won't change much. Or you take the black pill and think that this is all because 2009's SARS didn't happen in an election year, but this is happening in an election year. Whichever one you want to pursue, blue pill to black pill, all are agreed that what is going on is bad. And whatever you think, the effort of blue to black pilling is a universal response of all times and places. When bad things happen, we ask why. And the first simple answer is the nihilistic one. Guano happens. That's the counsel of despair. There's no meaning to anything, so stop looking and stop being the naive kid thinking that with this much guano, there has to be a pony in here somewhere. The more popular answer, I've heard it called blame storming. I don't really care about the bad thing happening. What I really care about is assigning blame and proper punishment on whoever did it. Be it China, the president, the deep state, the press corps, the CDC, or he was a smoker and had another disease that was his fault, or any other handy scapegoat. There are other popular reactions, blue pills, red pills, and black pills. But the least popular one is the philosophical. What does this bad thing mean for how I should live? What must I change about myself? And this blue, red, black pill response is exactly the frame of our gospel text. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. An evidently very bad thing. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Blame storming. The disciples aren't the nihilists. They aren't the rich man who blithely walks past the Lazarus at his gate. But they want to safely pin the cause of this bad thing as far away from themselves as possible. And Jesus, at least for me in my own faith, your mileage might vary, gives to me the strongest and hardest black pill of all time. It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Let that settle in. Think about the implications for a beat or two. This man, born blind, experienced this very bad thing his entire life. He and his parents lived under the weight of all of those red pill answers. Surely they themselves tempted by the nihilistic response of meaninglessness. And Jesus' answer is that this was God's will for God's purposes. I dare you to try, but you can't reconcile this Jesus and this answer with the floating free of context puppies, kittens, and rainbows all the time modern American God of just a warm, fuzzy little love ball. No, because God has a purpose. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And what is that purpose in this world? For judgment, I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. God works this miracle in the sight of everyone. He spits on the ground, makes some mud, smears it on the blind man's eyes, and he completes this incomplete work of creation. He finishes molding the man's eyes. And then he tells him to go wash. The man washes and he comes back seeing. And the reaction to God's mighty work in their midst falls on a spectrum that we talked a little bit about last week. No, it's not the blind man, even though he kept telling them, "I am that man." You won't believe how fast it didn't happen. We can get mad at the messenger. "This man is not from God," the Pharisees said about Jesus. Yet the blind man holds his witness, maybe even ramping it up a little bit as his own awareness grows. He's a prophet. They call him back and instruct him first in the answer that they want to hear. Give glory to God, because we know that Jesus is a sinner. Say, "God healed you," and erase this Jesus from your story. But the man who can now see won't erase his sight. If this one was not from God, he could do nothing. I am giving glory to God through Jesus. And that's it for the Pharisees. They cast him out. They didn't hear Jesus, neither would they hear the seeing blind man. You can also hope it just all goes back into the background. The blind man's parents. We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. Leave us alone. Let us just hope it goes away. God has worked his miracle in the sight of all. And only the blind man says, "Lord, I believe." God has worked his miracle in the sight of everyone. Right there on that cross, Jesus defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death for us. We who were lost in darkness have seen a great light. And that light continues to shine today. That light is still in the world. The darkness has not overcome it. Today is still the day to work. And that work is to proclaim his grace and truth. Today, with clear eyes, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See the one through whom all things were made has for us and our salvation come down from heaven. Perceive that even in the midst of bad things, he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he does everything he does for the good of his people. Everything he does is towards judgment, that those who admit that they are blind shall see the glory of God. And those who claim full sight will be made blind. Now, those purposes of God are that we might have faith in his Son. God has worked his miracle in the sight of everyone. And he sent out his messengers to proclaim it. This current bad thing before us. Am I a clear-sighted enough prophet to tell you exactly what God's purposes are being brought through this? No. I'm rather blind. But what I can say is I doubt much sight will come from any of the blue, red, or black pills, or any of the other colors that are likely to be trotted out over the coming months. Most of that is the sighted becoming blind. Instead, what I can say is that we should have faith that nothing happens outside of the will of God, and that the will of God is always for his people's good, even if we can't see it now, or if we can never see it until the fulfillment of all things. The first of the purposes of God is not that we understand, but that we believe in Jesus. And that belief in Jesus is not just for our best life now. We leave such concerns to the nihilists. But that belief in Jesus is for our eternal life. Inasmuch as that eternal life has already started, we receive its goods now. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the ability to resist Satan and his temptations and to defeat them. But that eternal life has not yet fully come. And so we walk by faith and not fully by sight. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. And walking by faith now is trusting in God's goodness towards us and his work through us. The man was born blind that the works of God might be displayed in him. And we also have been placed in this world, in the midst of bad things, to be witnesses to the light. There are lots of ways that that will happen. They are the good works that God has placed in advance for us to walk in. We walk them in good and bad. The works of God are displayed in us. But this is the inescapable truth of that black pill of Jesus. Satan has a pretty good case on the face of it. You worship a God who will blind someone from birth? You worship a God that at best allows killer viruses? Which is the core temptation all the way back to Eve. God's not a good guy. He's just keeping you down. You should ditch him. God's answer is not to deny that different interpretations are possible, but to send an authoritative interpreter backed up by his life. Jesus came to give sight to the blind. He suffered a fallen world alongside of us, but did so innocently. He accepted the burden of the sins of the world. And Jesus lives. Of all the purposes of God, the greatest were displayed in Jesus. And Jesus, even doing all of that, entrusted his spirit into the hands of his Father. And his Father raised him up. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. A life that is full of the goodness of God. Have faith. That light still shines. Amen.